It's Dear Instructional Designer, episode 47. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. I'm your host, Kristen Anthony. This season, we're digging into real projects and breaking them apart to see what makes them work. This episode, I'm super excited to have Svein Ture of the H5P project with me. H5P, if you haven't heard of it, is a free and open source content authoring tool. I first happened upon it while looking for other options in my toolset, particularly for free options for creating interactive video. So perk up your ears. Without further ado, let's break it down. Let's get started. Svein Ture, before we dig in, could you tell us a little bit about your journey so far in instructional design and instructional tech?
Yeah, thanks, Kristen, and thanks for having me. So I'm a Norwegian engineer. I haven't really studied instructional design or focused on the science behind it. But I've been working for 14 years with things that are very, very related to instructional design. So I started in 2003 working in a student company that made physical books. It was summaries of different topics in the university. Mm. And we moved on to animated lectures. So, animations explaining, especially mathematics. And we used Flash for doing this. It got really popular. Mm. And then we expanded with more and more types of interactions in Flash, game-like interactions, etc. Many different types of content to try to help students learn better. And after that, after my studies, I have continued my career centered around educational technology, open source educational technology, I would say, and e-learning content. We delivered our stuff, our content in Flash, normally, and as long as it was possible. I guess when the iPad was launched, it started to be really hard to use Flash. So then we moved on to the project we're going to talk about today.
So great. Could you tell us a little bit more about the product that we're going to be talking about today, H5P? What is that?
Yeah, H5P is short for HTML5 packages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to begin with, really, it was a project for our biggest customer at the time, our biggest customer of Flash content. They were called NDLA. They are called NDLA. It's the Norwegian Digital Learning Arena. Mm. So they are a governmental OER, Open Educational Resources provider for Norwegian high schools. They just won a big prize, by the way, the Open Educational Consortium, the best open learning portal in the world. So they're
awesome.
Very proud of it.
Yeah, we're going to want to check them out.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, so they used to purchase a lot of Flash content, and they also purchased a Flash-based authoring tool from us, and they wanted us to create a new authoring tool based on HTML5. And we knew them really well, so we knew that they probably wanted a bit more than that, or we could solve more problems than only replacing the authoring tool for questions. So we wanted to solve a range of problems. They did buy a lot of Flash content. So we knew that they needed a new format for their suppliers to deliver content to them. Flash was very practical. I don't know if you probably were familiar with Flash, weren't you?
Well, I certainly heard of it, but I never really got the chance to make anything in it.
Okay. It had these practical things that HTML5 doesn't have. You could just deliver a Flash file to a customer, and they could publish it just as easily as they publish a video on any web platform. You can't really do that without H5P with HTML5. So that was one of the things that we made possible for them. And it was also like, and that's the same today. If you create something with Storyline or some of these other commercial tools, proprietary tools, you usually need that tool if you are to change anything.
Right.
So if you deliver something to a customer and you have forgotten a comma, or they need to replace an image because an employee has been replaced, they have to contact the supplier so that they can go into Storyline or whatever they're using and replace that image. And this is bothersome for customers. So we wanted a tool where they can go in and make these small changes themselves in the stuff that they are buying from suppliers. Mm. And obviously it needed to be a really powerful and really good authoring tool. The most important problem, I think, is that in the industry today, it's so expensive to create really great interactive content.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. So we need to scale it up. You need to make it a lot easier to reuse content. So that was the main thing we tried to solve. Make sure that content can flow freely between organizations, between publishing systems. Don't require a lot of skill. Make sure that licenses are handled so that, if there are some really good content about Pythagoras in the world, as many as possible should be able to use that content. They shouldn't mm-hmm. have to create their own. So H5P, it's an open source system where people can work together and create really, really great content. It is an authoring tool. It's also a format for storing content and moving it between websites. It's been a really fun trip so far.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I've had the chance to sort of look at it a bit myself recently. And for those of you out there, the Torrance Learning XAPI cohort that I've been involved in, the session rather, is probably over at this point, but a new one is no doubt starting. And last session, they were definitely looking directly at this tool. And so, Svein Tore, could you tell us a little bit about what goes on or how sort of tracking works? Because none of this has sort of SCORM, right?
Mm, yeah. So H4P, as I said, it works in many frameworks. Mm. You can use it in Drupal, in WordPress, in Moodle. And we decided that we want to really focus on content. There are a lot of open source projects focused on managing content.
Mm-hmm.
But the content itself doesn't get that much attention. You have some really great VisiVig text editors, but it kind of stops there. So we have included all our content types produce XAPI statements.
Nice.
Yeah, they use the XAPI standard to tell the system everything the user is doing. And then we leave it up to the system to do something about them. So there are extra modules for both at least WordPress and Drupal that will listen for XAPI statements from H5P and do things with them. Normally send them to a learning record store so that you can analyze everything the user does in a learning record store of your choice.
That's awesome. And I think I read that you guys were creating a Canvas tool or an LTI tool on the roadmap. Is that right?
We have an LTI tool on the roadmap. So it will be a service where you can go in and create H5P from your Canvas or Brightspace or whatever LTI-enabled LMS you are using and use H5P there. So I hope we are able to launch it this year.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to that. All right, so to sort of dig in, this season on the show, we're focusing on the nitty-gritty of ID and talking about specific processes for problem solving through the sort of case study format. So could you tell us about a project where H5P helped you to solve a problem and give us a little bit about the context surrounding that project and the challenges you were trying to solve?
I think the NDLA project is the most interesting one. It's kind of the project where H5P got created.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
And we had all these problems that NDLA had that we tried to solve, They both needed a format for content suppliers. They needed it to be easy to publish interactive content on various websites, being able to also being able to clone content. If a supplier produced content for them, they wanted to be able to clone the content and create more of it themselves. So if a supplier created a crossword content for them, they didn't want to go to the supplier to buy another crossword. They wanted to just be able to say, hey, make a copy of this content and put in some new words. So they had all these challenges, and that's what we tried to solve with H5P.
That's really cool, because a lot of times I feel like, and you hit the nail on the head with a lot of these proprietary software, it's hard, if not impossible, to sort of go back in and change them. And so sustainability becomes a really big issue over time. And it sounds like one of the things that you guys wanted to make sure that H5P did was have sustainability at the forefront. You know, the people who need to change things can change them very easily, whether or not the person who created it is still there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If you have like thousands and thousands of HTML5 resources, they can be really hard to manage if you don't have a good system for it. So with H5P, you can update all your interactive videos in one place. So all the content of the same type can be updated in one place, making it a lot easier to manage.
Yeah. So you guys started off with your Flash content, and then you saw sort of the handwriting on the wall and wanted to move to HTML5. So I guess my next question is, you talked about all of these needs and requirements that you guys were getting from NDLA. What kinds of questions, though, were you able to ask about the needs of the organization or the needs of the end user as you were trying to build out what became H5P? What was that process like?
We knew NDLA very well. So to begin with, they wanted a new authoring tool for questions. They wanted to replace the Flash-based authoring tool. And I guess the process was like, we went in there and we tried to see if there were more we could do. We knew the customer well. We had been with them from the start. So we had some ideas and some suggestions, and it opened up a really creative process where we found several new things, new problems we also could solve in the same time. So it was very interesting, and it ended up with a project with a lot bigger visions than just trying to create a new authoring tool for questions for NDLA.
Yeah. Were there any criteria or constraints that you guys had to sort of work around besides just, you know, the fact that you needed to use this new technology that would be more platform agnostic?
I think in terms of constraints, we had very little time, and we had limited resources. So the first version of H5P was created with very, very little resources, and we had to skip some things that we have had to fix later. We were not super accessible to begin with, for instance. We had deadlines and we had limited resources, and that was the biggest problem for us in the beginning.
Gotcha. And how are you guys sort of tackling going back and adding these features? Like, what's your process like for that?
Yeah, we are taking one content type at a time. Just trying to go through them and make them easier to use, more accessible. And it is definitely in... If you sum it up, it probably takes a lot more time than if we had the time to do it correctly from begin with. But now we can bake in community feedback as well. So it's looking better and better.
Right. And do you guys just make a thing and put it out there and ask people to beta test it? Or how does that work? Do you have, you know, like a smaller community of people who are your testers?
Yeah, I love our beta testers. They for every release where we have some UI changes, it's usually everything has been tested by our beta testers.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
That's great. Yeah, we try to have two or three people in our beta tester group to test everything while we are watching, and everyone gets to test and provide feedback, textual feedback.
Okay. Oh, okay. Awesome.
Good. Yeah.
And so what, concerning accessibility, how do you guys test for that? Are you using, you know, like a variety of screen readers? Are you focusing on keyboard users and being able to sort of tap through the content? How does that look?
Yeah, we do many things in terms of screen readers. We focus on Chromebox. It seems to be the one that has implemented the standards in the best way.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one we use the most. We got it recommended from Web for All. So we focus on that. Other than that, yeah, as you say, keyboard navigation is always tested. We inspect, we do a code review to see if everything is correct semantically. Visual inspection test contracts and things like that.
Okay. And I guess the other thing I'm interested in is particularly because you started off with NDLA and they sort of create content for education, was the fact that the original iteration was not accessible, was that ever a problem for you guys? Like, is that a regulatory issue?
I don't think they are as strict in Norway as they are in the US, for instance. Nobody gets sued yet. So it hasn't been a problem for us so far in Norway. It's a much bigger problem for us when we have the biggest part of our user base in the US. But we are getting there now. We are pretty good in some content types. So it's coming along. But no problems in Norway so far.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Because I know that with a lot of educational facilities, I'm thinking about, you know, people who might use edX or people who might use Canvas, accessibility is going to be a big concern. And so, I mean, yeah, we already knew that you guys were working on it. I was just interested in sort of what the differences were between countries.
Yeah, I think we have the same regulations, but there is this rule in Norway that existing websites have more time before they need to apply to these rules.
Oh, okay.
So they don't have a big effect yet. I guess it will come here as well. I know in the US people have been sued already, universities, and yeah. So it's stricter there at the moment, I think.
Okay, good to know. So, and this may not apply, but as you guys are sort of creating this, were there any solutions or maybe even content types that you guys were considering, but you ultimately sort of rejected or put aside?
I guess there is a lot of things that we have considered. I think we have put many things on hold, but we were working a little bit on a LTI consumer content type so that we could put in things created with other LTI sites. LTI-enabled sites could be placed into H5P. We thought that we could, for instance, have this course presentation content type, slide-based. So we thought that you could, on one slide, you could embed content from another website via LTI and track the scoring there and kind of progress to the next slide as soon as you got a certain score. But that has been put aside because LTI is a little bit slow. It doesn't seem designed for this.
Mm.
It takes too long before we get information about the score. So we wanted it to be really snappy, and LTI didn't allow us to do that, at least not the first version. That was a little bit disappointing. Yeah.
Can I just ask, like, what is it like to build an LTI tool? Is it, you know, in terms of easy and hard, is it just like a really difficult thing to do to try and make your tool LTI compliant?
I think we have done it for a customer. It was really easy. It was no problem at all.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So what were some sort of challenges that you encountered or that the team encountered when trying to implement and build H5P, and how did you guys get over those?
I think the biggest challenges were quite technical. When we started, HTML5 was quite new. We still needed to support Internet Explorer, which doesn't support HTML5.
Ah.
So there were many challenges related to that. I don't remember many specific ones. I remember full screen mode. We wanted to be able to click a button on HTTP content to view the content and experience it in full screen. And that was troublesome across all the browsers and devices that we needed to support in the beginning. Yeah, but those things have become a lot easier now as the browsers and HTML5 has matured.
Yeah, awesome. The last sort of questions are sort of surrounding results. What sort of results or benefits have you guys and your partners at NDLA seen from using H5P?
NDLA, they has a really vast amount of H5Ps. It's in the thousands. They've created lots and lots of H5Ps. And it seems that their production is going quicker and quicker. So they're able to really efficiently create a lot of content. And I also think people are starting to see the advantages of being able to move H5P content from site to site.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really used to it. So they are really happy when they see that, okay, the stuff I've created now on our internal WordPress system, I can just download it and upload it to my external Drupal site, and it works exactly the same. I can continue to edit it there. It's been very popular. And the success outside of NDLA has been huge. You know, a lot more organizations are using H5P at this point than we expected. It's, I think, all or almost all of the Ivy League universities are using H5P for at least a project or two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And huge companies, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies, armies. Hundreds or even thousands of organizations are using H5P. So it seems that many are benefiting from the project.
Very nice. Very exciting.
It's been cool so far.
Awesome. So I guess as we wrap up here, what are some of the reasons that you would encourage an instructional designer to try out H5P? What would be some of the reasons that they should maybe not throw away their proprietary tools, but at least give this a try.
Mm. I think they will see that they can create a pretty big variety of interactive content. We have more than 30 different content types. I think they might find that some of our content types are really good. Interactive video, for instance, many find that it is the best or the second best in the world. So it's definitely one of the best solutions for creating an interactive video out there. And it's free, so you can just go ahead and try it. And when you create H4P content, it is yours. You're not locked into using some kind of special system or a publishing platform that you have to pay for to be able to maintain your content. It is yours. It's saved in a very safe format, and you can make it available to thousands of others who can continue your work. Yeah, but I think the main thing is that we can offer a really, really great authoring tool for instructional designers.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And last but not least, where can people catch up with you and catch up with H5P?
Thanks a lot. Yeah, they can go to h5p.org, our community site. So just register there. And you'll be in touch with me and in touch with the rest of the H5P community.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate your sharing the project with us.
Thank you.
You know what's great? I actually signed up to get the H5P newsletter, and they just recently, and I'm talking about within the last couple of weeks, have added even more content types. It is an absolute goldmine for newbie instructional designers and other IDs looking for an easy way to expand their capabilities. I really, really encourage you to check it out because it's kind of amazing to be able to have access to all this functionality for free. If you're interested in helping the project out, one of the things you can do is to test out these components and give them lots of feedback. Links to H5P will be in the show notes. I, for one, would love to see what you're making. As always, you can reach out to me. I'm at AnthChris on Twitter, or you can shoot me an email at kristen@dearinstructionaldesigner.com. If you've got some more time, I would love it if you'd leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's super helpful to let other people know about the show and let me know how I'm doing. You can learn more about how on dearinstructionaldesigner.com. Thanks so much for listening, and take care.